you have got a dog and you are having issues with your dog this morning, behavioural issues maybe, maybe you've got a dog for the family for Christmas and you want to know about the best way to train that dog. Maybe you've got an old dog, you want to teach new tricks. We hopefully will have a bit of help for you after 11. Well, we will have a bit of help. I know that for a fact. After 11 o'clock, because Dom Hodgson, who is kind of, we call him the king of canine common sense, we like to say that. He's written a couple of books, including How to Be Your Dog's Superhero, and he's just written a new one called Worry-Free Walks. He's going to be with us in the studio. And he would love to help you out, if possible. If you've got any questions or queries, or just little niggles, and you're thinking, well, I'd love to talk to somebody about this, with regards to your dog, obviously, then do get in touch. Drop us a question right now. Get in touch on 0800 234 6565. Get in nice and early. Or with a text, 81333, starting your text message with the letters BBC. And hopefully, Dom will be able to answer your question. Last January, the Dogs Trust had 4,827 calls from people wanting to hand over their dogs. Many of these will have been Christmas presents that haven't lived up to expectations, maybe, or given up once their owners realised the responsibilities of dog ownership. So if you had an adorable ball of fur descend on your house recently, how can you make sure your pooch settles into the family as best as they possibly can? Well, in order to spread some doggy knowledge and cheer, we thought we'd invite Sunderland's very own king of the canine common sense, Dominic Hodgson, to help with your hound know-how. So are you struggling with your dog? Are you dreading going for walks? Do you want to teach an old dog some new tricks? Give us a call right now and Dom could be able to help. He's here with us in the studio. So good morning, Dom.
Good morning, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
No problem. You've written a couple of books, which we obviously will mention a little bit later on, but if you can sum up the key to a happy dog, how would you do that?
Well, you want to get into a routine, really, especially with a new dog. I mean, all dogs start off as a new dog at some point, you know, but when you get a dog, you want to quickly get into a routine of providing a nice safe place for him to sleep in your house, you know, a bed, hopefully with a crate if it's a puppy. Puppies tend to do really well in crates. It helps with house training, stops them from chewing up your house and your television controls and all this kind of thing. And just getting them used to... The key to dog training really is to get the dog used to seeing you as an interesting person. Because if the dog thinks that you're the owner's the most interesting thing in the world, and which isn't that hard thing to do really, you know, you just take a handful of treats with you or take a squeaky tennis ball with you when you take him for a walk, then the dog's really easy to look after then because he just wants to follow you around the park.
And I guess that's the that relates to your first book, How to Be Your Dog's Superhero, because you make yourself the most interesting person to your dog.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
Right,
and,
okay.
And you know, I've been there. I've been in a situation when I wasn't the most interesting thing, and it's really, really hard work then.
I didn't realise you had to make yourself interesting to you. I thought the dogs just loved you no matter what. Because we spend an awful lot of money on dogs and on pets as well, don't we? And, you know, it's an investment. So you've got to, I guess as well, you've got to invest in the right dog for you and your family. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, for sure, yeah. I mean, some dogs, all dogs require a certain amount of exercise, but some dogs require more and they require more training, you know, working dogs, gun dogs, this kind of thing. These are dogs that have been bred for over hundreds of years to do a specific job. And when they don't, they're not given an outlet to do that kind of job. Mm-hmm. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to go shooting and beating with your Labrador. You know, you could just take a tennis ball for him to chase instead and he'll be just as happy. But if you don't provide some kind of outlet for him, something to exercise his mind as well as you know, his body, then that's when the sort of destructive behaviours can sometimes come about.
What are the common complaints you receive about dog behaviour? What do people come to you with more often than not?
The big one is they don't feel like they've got control, you know? They don't feel like they've got control of their dog. Mainly when they step outside. Inside the house, the dog's normally pretty easy to look after, or easier to look after. We enjoy cuddling our dogs. We enjoy sitting, sniffing their paws whilst we're sitting watching the telly with them, you know? And when we step outside the front door, then the dog is, there's lots more distractions for them then, mm-hmm. you know, lots more smells, birds, other dogs, people on bicycles, cars, all this kind of thing. And, you know, little crisp packets floating by and stuff. All these things can prevent a big distraction for your dog that can end up taking your dog away from you. So that's when people mostly struggle on a walk.
Colin in Jarrow's just gone in touch. He said he'd like to remind people a dog's for life, not just for Christmas, which obviously we hear every year and is quite right. He's got a rescue chocolate lab who likes him to take her out more than other members of the family. He says other than that, he's got no complaints with her behaviour and that he would recommend that breed to any family. And I guess that's the thing. If you've got young children in particular, about finding, you know, we talked there just about finding the right breed, isn't it? You know, dead important.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah. And, you know, you have to... all dogs can be trained, you know, so you can have a big Mastiff or a big Doberman can be trained just as easily as a little Shih Tzu or something, or a Terrier. But then you have to think about your family as well, yeah, you know, so it's not going to be as easy for a 2, 3, 4, 5 year old to handle or to, you know, be around a bigger dog. You know, they're going to find it more intimidating.
But how did you get into dog training then?
What I did was I worked for Imperial Tobacco as a sales rep for about 10 years, and I didn't really want to do it for another 30, so I stopped doing that job, and I set up a dog adventure business in Sunderland. I had been helping out in my local rescue centre, and so I sort of had a bit of a passion for dogs, and I knew I wanted to work outdoors, so I set up Pack Leader Dog Adventures, and then I quickly sort of realised that I didn't know enough about dogs myself. So I went on a bit of a dog training journey, and this is where the whole kind of playing with your dog thing came about, you know, because that was when I discovered that the secret of dog training was to play with your dog more, make yourself more interesting. Mm. The business became so much easier for me. And then, you know, that's the kind of philosophy that went into the books and the kind of thing that I teach when, you know, my students as well.
Wow, brilliant. I know one complaint that a lot of people have with dogs is barking. Barking is a common problem. We asked some Northeast dogs for their thoughts. Well, they have plenty to say on the subject.
Some do quite nicely.
So why did, and then this sounds like a silly question, but why did dogs bark? Is it frustration? Is it playfulness? Is it a case of like a warning signal for some breeds, I guess?
It can be a bit of all of those things, you know, it really can. I mean, barking is a way for a dog to communicate, but it's what's the trigger. You need to figure out what the trigger is for your dog barking, you know, and I've been on the beach many, many times and you see someone walking the dog and the dog's got a tennis ball in his mouth and he'll drop it and he'll bark, 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 bark. And the owner will throw the ball because the dog is, looked at me there, funny.
Yeah.
Obviously the dog is being rewarded, you know, the dog's being rewarded for barking by throwing the ball. But if the owner just waited maybe 10 seconds until the dog was quiet and then threw the ball, then the dog's going to learn to be quiet, you know. But it could be fearful as well. There's lots of different reasons why dogs bark.
Well, we've got a specific question actually that relates to that, which I'll ask you about in the next 15 minutes. So if you've just sent that in, text us 762, then please hang on because we will get Dom to have an answer to your question. My guest in the studio is Dom Hodgson, who is a dog. I mean, I don't really know how best to treat, because I know you say you're not a dog whisperer, are you?
No, not really.
But you're a dog expert.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm a dog trainer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so dog whisperer implies that there's some sort of mystical powers that you need to have to be able to train a dog, and the truth is you don't.
You don't. You just
anybody
need to know
about
dogs. Got a couple of books, How to Be Your Dog Superhero, which reflects on the point you made earlier, saying that, you know, just make yourself the most interesting person to your dog you possibly can, and then they'll do what you want them to do.
Yeah, they'll follow you around then. They'll be more interested in you. They won't be as interested in, you know, going off to find other dogs to play with, birds to chase, fox poo to roll in, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and the book that you just had published before Christmas, Worry-Free Walks, Street Smart Dog Training, Book 1, which suggests there are more books on the way, Dom.
Yeah, there are, yeah. So what I've decided to do with this little series is go deeper into the different dog training problems that I come across, you know. So the first one deals with the walk, the next one's going to be about puppies, and then we're going to do trick training and other things after that.
Because you don't really think of walking a dog as being that difficult, but actually, you know, I'm just reading the back of this book there, and you were saying, you know, to get you from your front door to the park bench without pulling, lunging, barking, shouting, and sometimes you pass people walking their dogs and it looks like a right to do, doesn't
it? Yeah, and it's really sad because the reason why we get a dog is because we think, oh, we're going to enjoy walks with them, you know. Hopefully it is anyway. Hopefully it isn't just the cuddles, you know. Hopefully you want to get out there. But it ends up being the one thing that many owners dread, you know. They dread the time when the clock's ticking around to when they've got to take their dog out because of all these things, you know. The dog pulls, he lunges, he barks, he's difficult to control, and it can be stressful and really frustrating and upsetting for the owner as well, because they love the dog dearly but they don't enjoy walking them.
But it is possible to sort that out.
Absolutely, yeah. And it takes a bit of time, you know. You have to do a bit of research, and, you know, and I like the owners to find out what their dog's like first, you know, because you want to find out what kind of things, what turns your dog on, you know. Yeah. what motivates him, what rewards you want to use, and then you can use them to get him to look at you, follow you around the park, come back to you when you want him to, all that kind of thing.
And you've got a little kind of book tour as well happening, haven't you?
Yeah, so we're doing a worry-free walks workshop or walkshop, like a seminar tour. We're going to start that in February, and that's going all around the UK. So I'll be sort of practically demonstrating with my own little dog Sydney a lot of the techniques that we talk about in the book.
Fab, brilliant. We've got a question from Jennifer, who is in Ellington. Morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Put your question to Dom then, Jen.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Dom.
Good morning, Jen.
I have a problem with my dog, who is now, who'll be six in June. I've had him since he was a tiny puppy. He was a rescue. I got him at 12 weeks old. My problem is he's very, very sensitive to anything that goes bang, right? Mm. He's terrible on fireworks tonight, but I have sort of got a remedy for that. It's called Pet Remedy. It's a spray. And if I spray it liberally everywhere, it seems to pacify him a bit. But my problem with walking is if he hears gunshots, and he can hear it, believe me, 30 miles away, that's it. That's the end of the walk. It's tail between legs till it's right up to his stomach, and all he does is take me home. How can I do with this? I would like to know.
Yeah, this is a real tricky one because obviously the dog's 6 years old now, so he's had 6 years of being frightened, you know, and over time this gets repeated and it can be, and obviously it's stressful for you as well, Jen. So I would recommend, it's difficult with gunshots, especially if you live somewhere out and about. Obviously if there are times of the day when you know that people aren't out shooting, now it's easier to walk your dog then. I know that might sound like a really simple suggestion, but sometimes the easy things are what we should be doing first. And have you tried sort of desensitizing the dog to sounds, you know, sort of playing? There are different sound apps that you can get, or you can play, you know, gunshots on like YouTube videos, put them on a really low volume in the house, and that will gradually, hopefully, desensitize the dog to the noise.
I haven't tried that, so that's quite a good idea. I could certainly do that. Yes, I can.
I mean, you what you want to start off with is sort of mega, the noise needs to be really low, you know, so unbelievably quiet, and then you would gradually increase it over time, or like over many, many weeks. And then hopefully that, coupled with you like rewarding the dog for looking at you and for remaining calm when he hears the noise, that should hopefully help him.
Okay, is that helpful, well, Jennifer?
I'll certainly try that. Thank you very much. That's good advice. I will try and do that and see what happens.
Fabulous, Jenna. Thank you so much for your call as well. Really, really great advice there as well, Don. Thank you. Couple of questions I'd like to try and squeeze in. Wayne in Winlayton says, I've got a question. Why does my dog wee a small amount if people come into the house and pet him?
A lot of dogs do this. My little Cocker Spaniel used to do this quite a bit when he was a lot younger. And it's mainly excitement, you know. Dogs, just they get excited and they wee, you know, they wee. Or it's in
it
a similar
happens.
Way, they bark, you know. Yeah, you know, they just get way too excited. So just keeping the dog in a separate room or keeping the dog away from people just for like 2 or 3 minutes until he settles down a little bit and, you know, gets rid of that sort of, over that little hyper phase.
The
initial
excitement.
Yeah, they get rid of the initial excitement and then he'll, you know, then let him say hello to somebody and hopefully he shouldn't be weighing as much.
Okay, this one is no name on this text, unfortunately, but it ends 762. Thank you very much for getting in touch. My dog barks and growls at people and other dogs, and he looks fierce when I'm taking him for a walk. He didn't do this before he was neutered. What can I do to stop him barking and growling? I tried taking a bottle with coins and stones inside to rattle at him, which worked for the first couple of days, but he quickly caught on that it wasn't going to hurt him. If you can help, that would be brilliant.
Yeah, I think for something like this, where the dog is, the problem's escalating quite a bit and he's starting to show some aggression, I think I would recommend highly seeing a behaviourist in person, you know, because you're going to benefit massively. They're going to give you some management strategies to help you straight away get more control of your dog, because it's, I mean, we talk about having a worry-free walk, but this sounds like a really stressful walk, doesn't it? And the owner's already tried like some aversive training with, it sounds like a rattle can. Sometimes that can work, and if it works straight away, then fantastic, you know, but often the problem will just get worse. And I think a more reward-based sort of training with a behaviourist in person would be applicable. Yeah.
Yeah, just so that nothing happens. That's the thing you want
to
avoid.
Yeah, I mean, we're
any
talking safety here, exactly. And dangerous and people potentially getting bitten and stuff.
Well, Dom, absolutely fabulous. Will you come back in again another time?
For sure.
That would be brilliant. And where can we go and find out more information about the tour and the workshops and the books?
So you can get the books on Amazon or from Audible. They just search for Dom Hodgson on there, Dominic Hodgson, and you'll find the books. Or you can go to my website, www.mydogssuperhero.com, and you can get details on there as well.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for your help. It's BBC Newcastle with Bananarama on the way next.